Hi, in the previous audio, I referred to some of the tools I have used over the last several years, and in particular, I talked a bit about meditation and mindfulness practices I have engaged with. The benefits of these tools or practices have been widely talked about and researched, very briefly. Studies suggest that they can have a broad impact. Among other things, they boost our immune and brain functioning. They lower our blood pressure, heart rate, cortisol, and anxiety levels. They bring about increased awareness, attention, and clarity, and an experience of feeling connected with others, with all. These processes allow for a showering of the mind, and they open us up to more reality. They bring a sense of calm and stillness and space within. So I believe that they are invaluable means of creating the experiences mentioned above, and I only wish I had engaged with the practices much earlier in my life. However, when one starts meditating, all unresolved traumas, unmetabolized grief of a lifetime will be brought to the surface, and this can tax our physiology and overwhelm us emotionally. So when there is a lot of material coming up, ideally, other practices should be combined or prioritized, and an integrous and informed witness and guide could help prevent overwhelm, bodily dysregulation, and even health problems. So in that sense, nothing is a panacea. I hope I'm pronouncing the word correctly. It's a Greek word, and it's spelt with a K in Greek, and it's pronounced panakia. So nothing is a panacea for all contexts and for every circumstance or phase in our life. And it is important for us to be fully informed and to be able to pace the processes we engage in. The previous time, I also mentioned tapping, or emotional freedom technique, a great tool to release physical pain and emotions, access deepest or earliest memories, and also uncover unconscious non-helpful beliefs. Basically, tapping engages acupuncture points, and it allows the body to release endorphins that reinforce physical and emotional well-being. It also somehow accelerates processing. Our emotional reality is often layered, and emotions often come in bundles or in clusters, combinations, and tapping on a salient emotion, for instance, can often reveal other things going on which we were not aware of. Now, in terms of research, very briefly, Dawson Church conducted an experiment where participants were divided into two groups. One received an hour of tapping, while the control group received a talking intervention. They found that the tapping group experienced a much more significant decrease in cortisol levels, about 24% to 50%, whereas the other group was about 15%. Research findings also suggest effects of tapping on gene expression. It is easy to learn to tap after one has been familiarized with the process. For instance, I found demonstrative videos on the Otna family's website and read one of their books. So there's a lot of material. Having a script or listening to something can be quite effective and powerful. And there's a lot of material for one to choose from. Another practice that I've been intentionally focused on, especially these last years, is gratitude, mostly throughout the day as things occur or come up at the end of the day, which kind of has the quality of an organic, spontaneous prayer. And through trying to remember to remain present enough during the day to take in the good. So Rick Hansen has developed this practice, which is a deliberate internalization of positive experiences in the implicit memory. He suggests three ways we can take in the good. We first look for good facts and events and things during the day, and then we turn these into positive experiences. These can be simple little things that occur throughout our day or the positive aspects of life in general and the world. So once we notice something good, we let ourselves feel good about it. Then we move on to really enjoying the experience by staying with it in an embodied way. Finally, we move into sensing that the positive experience is sinking into us so that it can become a positive memory. We can do this conceptually or feel it in our body and visualize this process any way it comes up for us. So we experience it long enough, it could be 20 or 30 seconds, a minute, and that the passing mental state can become encoded as a lasting neural trait. Kelly McGonigal actually suggests we take this a step further. So after savoring an experience, for instance, we could write about it and then tell it for the learning to go deeper. So I have found that apart from what may be going on in terms of positive neuroplasticity, staying with the good and feeling gratitude are good at grounding us in the here and now, can become a buffer against stress and fear, and can often help us override our negativity bias and shift our physiology, which increase our resilience. Again, research suggests many benefits from engaging with gratitude. There's tons of research actually on gratitude on the net. It is suggested that certain neural circuits are activated, production of dopamine and serotonin increases, and then these neurotransmitters travel to the bliss center of the brain. Gratitude is also correlated with increased empathy. I have found that it connects us with others' suffering and our common humanity, and it brings things into perspective and also allows for a certain prioritization to take place. Now, as with all things, maybe too much of anything can have its negative side. Like many women, through my early upbringing and later socialization, I internalized messages of non-deserving too much, of it not being polite to ask for things, of even desire too much, and to be grateful no matter what. Women are often expected to be nice, accommodating, and of service to others in an imbalanced way. They have been socialized to give more and ask for less. These beliefs can result in our waiting to be picked, of not standing up for our rights, of not demanding what we have worked hard for and earned, allowing others to bench us. I have been told, unfortunately not that long ago, that punishment for the sake of punishment can be a good thing, for it builds character and it teaches us compliance. Ultimately, all this results in our moving through life like deer caught in the headlights and of never truly touching the ground where we stand. So we need to give ourselves permission to take up space, find the balance between the I and the we, and to feel free to be assertive and even push against harm when that is necessary. Therefore, the feeling of deep gratitude for all the good that comes our way and for the gift of life itself is as important as carrying the deep-seated belief that we, and everyone else for that matter, inherently deserve to be here, to be seen and to be heard, and to experience all the good things that living on this planet can potentially offer to more and more people if we move out of old entrenched ways of being and thinking. Okay, so this is it for today. Thank you for listening, and do take care of others, but also yourselves, because self-care and self-preservation consist a revolutionary act. Bye for now.